From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We are joined with our guest super producer, Ben Super Shifter Hackett. Most importantly, you are here, and that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. Now, in our previous week, as you may know, longtime conspiracy realist, we were on the road having a series of strange misadventures that we can't wait to tell you about in the future. But we had to return live and in full effect for one of our favorite weekly segments, Strange News, all the stuff that either doesn't make it into the headlines or doesn't get maybe the analysis that it deserves. So without further ado, we're going to explore some tragedies in Nashville. We're going to talk about exorcism, but not in the way you imagine, perhaps. And before we do any of that, Matt, Noel, when's the last time you went to a big sports game?
I'm going to say never. Wait.
Oh, man.
I've been to a baseball game. I've never been. I was having this conversation the other day. I've literally never been to a football game. And I lived in Athens, Georgia for 4 years, which is weird that I never made it to a UGA game. But yeah, not a many.
Well, guys, yesterday I happened to have dropped some money on some season tickets for the Gwinnett Stripers.
It's a
baseball team.
I was going to ask.
It's a part of the Atlanta Braves, but it's one of the minor league teams. And I'm so excited for my son and I to go to ball games on the weekends. Cool.
Yeah. Oh, that is some serious father-son stuff right there.
That's cool.
Good man.
Dude, I didn't get the really good ones, and I also didn't get a whole bunch of them, but we're going to go to some games, okay? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Does that mean we can get the in? We can get like you can hook us up when you can't go?
Yeah, yeah. If you guys want to go together or if one of you wants to come with me, if my son can't make it, let's go.
Hell yeah.
I'm in. I'm kind of a drifter, so it'd be nice to show up to a game with some official paperwork instead of just sort
because they're always all about show us your papers.
Yeah. paperwork oriented society.
Yeah.
It basically like getting into a minor league game illegally is like, as we all know, I'm sure it's like trying to sneak into North Korea. They are buttoned up. But Matt, quick question.
Yes.
Do we know what kind of turf they have at the Stingers?
Honestly, I do not know. It looks real to me, but I think that's how it's supposed to be designed, right? It's supposed to look real.
Leaps and bounds in turf tech. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Well, okay. So this story is pretty serious. It's a little speculative. I just have to put that out there before you even begin. But I think it's important. And this is kind of ringing the same bell that I've been ringing for a long time with you guys. That old PFAS, the forever chemicals bell, that is just like an alarm bell, I guess, that we've been ringing for a while now.
Yeah, weirdly, it's shaped like a skull and crossbones.
Yeah. Yeah, so some of this is going to be familiar to you listening already, but we need to talk about it. There is potential that some of the artificial turf that has been used for decades for professional baseball teams and, you know, major leagues, minor leagues, and even some schools use this turf in the past, there's potential that this turf is cancer causing because it does contain forever chemicals. At least many of the false turfs, the AstroTurf, which is a proper noun there, a lot of it has been tested and shown to have all kinds of things like benzene that leaches out of it over time and just terrible things for the players who end up on that turf. So let's go to the story. It comes to us from mid-March 2023. It was first reported in the Philadelphia Inquirer, which is what we're going to be primarily getting our information from today. But the reason why it pinged for this episode is because The Guardian was talking about it. And this is what you can search for and find. Artificial turf potentially linked to cancer deaths of 6 Philadelphia Phillies ballplayers. Report. The report is coming out of the Philadelphia Inquirer. And all 6 of these players contracted what is it with cancer? You got cancer? Cancer grew within you?
Yeah, I mean, I think contracted is probably accurate.
Contracted would be the typical nomenclature, yeah.
They all ended up with a very rare form of brain cancer called a glioblastoma. It's very aggressive. All of them died. All 6 players died. All of them were under the age of 60 years old when they died. And we'll name the players right here. Tug McGraw, Darren Dalton, John Vukovich, John Oates, Ken Brett, and David West. They all played at a specific stadium, Veterans Stadium. This was at the time when this new turf was put in. It was state of the art. It was this brand new, exciting thing. This field is not going to be required to be taken care of in the same way all of the other baseball fields will need to be taken care of, right? It's not grass that has to be fed and cut and all those things. It's this new, they called it a, quote, magic carpet back in the day. And over the years, after some weird health stuff has been going down with baseball players who play on these fields on a regular basis, I would highly recommend you check out the Philadelphia Inquirer's article to get all of the information, but I want to hit some of the primary things here. What chemicals were found within the turf at this Veterans Stadium where these players played? There were PFAS, that's those per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, and it wasn't just one PFAS chemical that was found in there. There were 16 separate forever chemicals that were found within these things. And that was from testing that was done by Eurofins Lancaster Laboratories Environmental Testing.
And each of those, we should mention, each of this rogues gallery of chemicals can be carcinogenic on its own.
Yes.
What led to the testing? Was it like routine, or was this as a result of these reports or the idea of there being a connection?
The theoretical connection was made, which is then why it all got tested. And the question was, is there an actual link between this turf and this rare cancer that these players got, right? And how could you prove that? How can you prove that the turf is what gave them cancer?
Mm-hmm. One note here too, Matt, that might be of interest to our fellow conspiracy realist. Glioblastoma, most causes of it are officially unclear at this time, but doctors and researchers currently believe only about 5% of glioblastoma cases occur due to hereditary factors. So it's an environmental thing, which I think is part of the red flag. Yeah.
And just so you guys know, there are no studies linking forever chemicals to brain cancer at all. Zero. Forever chemicals are linked to kidney cancers and testicular cancers. At least officially, those are the only two things they're linked to. But PFAS has been found in the human brain. Does that make sense? So we're just not at the level yet where we can say definitively, this is what caused the brain tumor.
Well, and like, I mean, I just feel like a lot of cancer research is sort of a black box in that respect. I mean, we know, you know, cigarette smoke, carcinogens in cigarette smoke lead to cancer, lead to lung cancer, but not everybody that smokes cigarettes gets lung cancer. And you have people that get lung cancer and have never touched a cigarette in their life, and people that smoke a pack a day until they're 70 and you know, die of natural causes. It's just, I'm not justifying smoking cigarettes. I'm just saying it is a little bit of a crap, not a crapshoot, but like, you know, it's a little mysterious sometimes as to, we know some things can cause it, but then there are other factors as well that might make one person more likely to get it because of that outside factor than others.
No, you're right. There could be a ton of factors that went into all this stuff. It could be a particular environmental factor in Philadelphia near where they played, right? Or have nothing to do with the turf, had to do more with the older building. Right. Mm-hmm. And something, you know, some kind of building material that was in there, or insulation that was used, or paint, mm-hmm. or, you know, there are all these things.
Here's an interesting connection we could make in this Guardian article that you hipped us to, Matt, which, as you said, by Tom Perkins, is very much worth the read. There's a note here where they talk about the nature of artificial or astroturf. And they mention the infill specifically on the field.
Yes.
It is made with recycled rubber tire components called crumb rubber. And looking at glioblastoma, which I didn't know off the dome, looking at glioblastoma, environmental factors that can lead to that condition do include rubber manufacturing. So I'm wondering if that's a possible connection.
Oh, for sure. Because there's stuff in that rubber, the previously known as tires, now soil, fake soil stuff. There's benzene in there for sure. Heavy metals are in there. Volatile organic compounds, according to The Guardian, other carcinogens. And that's, so if you imagine you're looking at the soil like a cross section, right? Mm-hmm. You've got the artificial turf, the stuff that looks like grass on the top, right? And then below that, instead of putting soil or something that you would in a regular stadium that has grass, you put this fill that Ben is talking about. And every time a player steps with cleats on that artificial turf on the top, those cleats push in a little bit. You know, maybe they don't pierce that top layer, but they push in and they aggravate all the mm-hmm. stuff below it. And if it's been raining, if the conditions are right, if it's super hot outside and that ground is heated, then some of those chemicals get agitated and maybe release in a different way. We don't know for sure, but it's a possibility. And then imagine like sliding on that stuff, like mm-hmm.
like face first,
if you're
like
going for a ball
into home,
right?
Plate, yeah, whatever, yeah, for
in
sure,
your left field or something. I mean, there's just a huge potential for exposure there.
Mm-hmm. And Ben, I have a question for you. Isn't it like notoriously difficult to definitively prove or link, you know, these types of cases to a particular situation, you know, or exposure event, or at the very least, you know, such that maximum damages are paid out in these like kinds of court cases?
Yeah, it can be quite difficult because, again, cancer is an umbrella term, right? And one treatment for one type of cancer may not necessarily be as efficacious when applied to another type of cancer, right? Cancer is like saying chair. There are untold variations of chairs, right? And the one thing they have in common is that people sit on them. The one thing that cancer has in common is that it is a dangerous abnormality of cell growth. So with this, you know, there are a lot of class action lawsuits about things like think of asbestos exposure and think of Agent Orange, the struggle to get treatment or even acknowledgement of the causes of Agent Orange continues well after the Vietnam War, well after Iraq even. So when we're looking at this, you bring up an excellent point, Noel. It is very difficult for someone to be able to say, this is the cause, this is the origin point of this condition. However, there is a helpful thing here, kind of like mesothelioma in asbestos cases. Glioblastoma is so rare that it strengthens your case to say, hey, these folks all have one thing in common, despite their demographics, They all worked at the same place, were exposed to the same things around the same time. But again, it's devilishly difficult to prove that conclusively in a court of law.
100%. Wow, guys. So there's way more to talk about here. I'm going to send everybody to the Philadelphia Inquirer. Look for, quote, "What to Know About Forever Chemicals, Artificial Turf, Philly's Cancer Deaths, and Our Story." That's the title of the article. It was written by Barbara Laker and David Gambacorta, and it was published on March 7th in the Philadelphia Inquirer. Lots more answers for you inside there. The biggest takeaway is that there are cities across the country that are beginning to ban artificial turf outright, completely. Not all of them, but several of them. And
when was this installed again, Matt, originally?
Like 70s, 1970s. Okay.
So this is like of the same ilk as like asbestos, where it was just a magical material used in everything. And then, whoops, we figured it out later and then had to, you know, mitigate all of those legacy installations.
Yeah, it's Teflon, but for a playing field, you know.
Invented in the 60s. So it was still relatively new when it was laid out there in Philly.
Are there not other stadiums that have this, though?
Oh,
some,
yeah.
Like 12,000, right?
There's a lot. Yeah. So
okay, that certainly muddies the water.
More
doesn't
than
it?
Two.
Yeah. So why aren't there more rare cancer deaths linked to other? You know, I mean, I guess, yeah. That's an interesting one.
Yeah, and it's not just baseball, by the way. NFL stadiums have this stuff. FIFA stadiums, or you know, soccer stadiums have this stuff. And hey, here's something fun. FIFA.
Ooh.
FIFA. Mm-hmm. We know them.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, they're great.
when they're putting on a World Cup match, you know what one of their requirements is?
Slavery.
Well, yes. And it can't be artificial turf. It cannot be artificial turf.
Oh.
Is that more of just like a prestige thing?
Probably. I don't know.
Maybe like a rule thing about how real grass versus AstroTurf. Yeah.
That's a really good point.
Or maybe... I never thought I would say it, but maybe it's like a good on you FIFA situation.
Maybe so. We'll give them this one, guys. We'll give them this one.
They don't say anything about the games that aren't the World Cup. I mean, come on.
Oh, you got me with a Santa laugh. Sorry.
There you go. All right. Well, that's it for now. Keep watch on that, especially if you find out your local teams play on artificial turf or if you're a player of any sport that uses this stuff. Just keep it in mind. All right, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Or a player in general, we'd like to hear from you. We got a cosign from Mr. Matt Frederick there. We are back. Here's our next thing. This is a bit of a hobby horse. Hopefully not just for me, but for a lot of people for many years. We know about the problems with drug cartels. The world round, specifically in Latin America, often in the past aided and abetted by the same institutions of the U.S. government that purport to combat them. There are tons of folklore around this. There are billions of dollars around this. And there are a lot of surreal situations. You know, not too long ago, famous hippo enthusiast, also drug dealer, Pablo Escobar, created an entirely new invasive species situation when he imported hippos to Colombia, and they live there now. Hippos are, by the way, the most dangerous land mammal by far. Don't mess with them. Don't care how cute they look. Don't do it.
The baby ones are cute. The big ones are terrifying.
Yeah, and they're fast.
Their little ears are cute, though. No, that's isn't that a thing too? That's rhinoceroses. Mm-hmm. They're like mega fast land animals. But yeah, those hippos will come up from underneath and like they'll knock your boat over.
Yeah, they are hungry.
Eat your face.
Hungry, hungry indeed. And they're quite dangerous. They're much faster than you might think if you just looked at one lolling by the river. Either sense of the word loll there. Here's what happened. Several years ago, we reported on a serial killer murder case amid some narcos. Narcos would be another term for operatives of a cartel. We know about narco saints like Santa Muerte. We know that they're, we know about narco corridos, right? We know like the ballads,
the songs.
That glorify.
It always sounds so upbeat.
Yeah, of course. Some of them are bangers. I'm not going to lie. Objectively, some of them are really good songs. Okay, we've got guest producer Super Shifter over there going, okay. Some of them are catchy.
Medium nod. Okay.
Yeah, medium nod.
I like it.
All right. So this is something that amazed me that came out recently. Love to share it with everyone. Colombia's chief of police recently made a statement about unconventional methods used to combat drug cartels. Those methods are not spying, which they do if they can. Those methods are not, you know, kick doors, which they do if they can, nor requisition of evidence, which, of course, they do if they can. Instead, the chief of police of Colombia said that he and his colleagues and other officers use exorcism and focused prayer to combat the country's most powerful criminals because they believe those criminals use dark magic, use occult methods to ensure their success, and they all believe this magic works.
I'm sorry, focused prayer? This is a new one for me.
It's like you get together a group of people, maybe you make offerings to certain saints, you focus your attention, right?
Got
like
it.
Weaponized psychology.
It's like praying at somebody.
Yes. You know? Yeah, that's a good description.
Got it.
So as though the law enforcement, they're on the side of God, I guess, in this case, and then the people they are combating are on the side of the devil?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know about that. It feels like the folks on both sides are on the side of, you know, Catholicism, and they just justify their actions in different ways by praying to different saints in different, you know, for different reasons. I don't know. It just, you know, even if you watch like Breaking Bad, like the twins, you know, the assassins with the hatchets, like they're always like, you know, doing stuff with saints and lighting candles and seem like really devoutly religious and also have like skulls and kind of, you know, kind of black magic-y looking stuff. But I think a lot of that stuff is like Dia de los Muertos kind of stuff and is still tied in with Catholicism.
Well, Catholicism is also interesting because it engages proactively throughout history in the practice of religious syncretism, which is saying, oh, your local non-Christian pantheon is the same. You know, these are actually saints from Catholicism, and you were just confused about the brand names. So let us tell you how to how you should be worshiping something. By the way, you know, we're enslaving you and spreading disease, et cetera, et cetera. So the first we kind of learned about this in terms of occult dealings in the world of cartels comes from the case of Adolfo de Jesus Constanzo, which was a Cuban-American serial killer, drug dealer, and cult leader. You can read about his harrowing tale, or you can listen to our previous episode about this kind of stuff. I think we mentioned him a few times. He is not the Colombian cartel. He's not affiliated with the Colombian cartels that police chief, General Henry Sanabria, is targeting. But just a few days ago, Sanabria tells local media that not only have the authorities resorted to these, you know, I guess you could call them counter-occult methods, but also Sanabria is convinced that these practices have worked. They have delivered results. Why does he say that? Because this is not a new thing. They said for about a half a century, 50 years, the authorities have been doing this. And he recalls specific examples. You can read about this in CBS News, should you prefer English. Originally found it on Samana.com, which is Spanish language. And big thanks to Vicky Davila, who wrote the original article. But what we see here is a pretty strident interview. Sanabria does things like bring up specific examples from the past where he feels these spiritual practices worked. He said there are police operations against Escobar in 1993, and exorcism and prayer played a part in their victory. Then he notes the assassination of Alfonso Cano in 2011. That's a FARC guerrilla leader. And then he notes the assassination of a military chief who worked for Cano, known as Mono Jojoy, 2010. And he says this quote, I can't wait to hear what you think about this. The existence of the devil is certain. I have seen him. I have felt him. And he made the sign of the cross when he mentions the devil. Also, if you look at that Samana article, which comes from the magazine, you can see that his office is surrounded by crucifixes, by effigies of the Virgin Mary, all the hits from Catholicism. And he also, one of the most recent examples, he says there was a group of unarmed police officers that were surrounded by hundreds of protesters who were right on the edge of rioting, right, becoming violent. And Sanabria arrives at the scene. He pulls out a crucifix and he feels that repelled, again, hundreds of protesters. They packed their stuff up and left. Now, before I monologue too long, maybe too late, what do you guys think about this when you hear this story?
I don't see the correlation, but maybe. If there's enough of a belief that that crucifix and a holy man of some sort performing a ritual could have an effect on you, right? If there's a belief in the people that weaponized psychology has been being used against is strong enough, then yeah, then maybe something did happen there where there is correlation. But man, that's certainly weird. Are there any other examples of something used like that where an exorcism or a rite was used?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Let's think about our pal Gabriel Amorth, who was the chief exorcist for the Vatican, right? And heavily employed the use of what we call proxy exorcisms, right? Trying to exorcise the fans of the Harry Potter fiction franchise, for example. We also know in general, in a country that has strong Catholic roots, people are going to pray, right? There's nothing wrong with that. And it doesn't mean that they are violating any rule of their position. I mean, over in Philly, people are praying to win a game, right? this is different because win or lose, everybody should be leaving safely, right? Here, it's interesting because we have one group, cartels, that are praying to, in some cases, saints that are not acknowledged by the official Catholic Church, folk saints like Santa Muerte. And then on the other side, we have people ostensibly of the same belief system praying for those favors, you know? I think it is important to note Colombia is, on paper, a secular country, but it has, you know, huge Catholic roots, strong Catholic belief system. And this stuff, the conversation turned into a firestorm on social media. It went all the way to the president, President Gustavo Petro. He said, look, we know the beliefs of the general, Sanabria, but we try to make sure that these beliefs do not affect the rules. It's as simple as that. I think he's respected them as far as we know.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, this is a hunch, Ben. Correct me if I'm wrong here. I feel like this general, if he's pretty, it seems to be very religious man, has, you know, a lot of faith. He's not an elected official, though. He's in the military, which, okay, that's good, because he's not making laws, right? Mm-hmm. I'm imagining there could be some political crossover here.
Ah, I see. If maybe this is a cynical move to sort of garner support for a future political run?
Maybe.
Quite possibly, you know, and it's difficult to know people's internal motivations and desires. We only know what people tell us about themselves. That's true. I'm also wondering how far it goes, right? Like, it's so weird because it's something that's been missing from the story or the phenomenon for quite some time, right? We knew certain cartels, certain narcos were engaging in what might be called cultic or occult practices. And this is almost like the other shoe dropping. It's just very strange for someone of this position to come out and say, you know, come out and depict the authorities as though they are holy warriors of a sort, especially if people are praying in the same belief system. You know what I mean? It's just, it's very muddy very quickly. And I had the same question, Matt, like, how much do you guys think this individual actually believes what they're saying?
Well, if you're interested in finding out more about exorcisms, our buddy Chandler Mays has worked incredibly hard on a podcast series that's out now called The Exorcist Files, featuring a renowned priest, Father Carlos Martins, and him talking about various exorcisms that he's performed. And apparently, exorcisms are up within the Catholic Church over the past handful of years. So
yeah,
definitely some stuff to find out there from The Exorcist Files.
Yep. And this show is fantastic. If you've enjoyed our previous episodes on exorcisms, which were already on the rise, even back when we covered it, this is a continuing question. And it's a question that we want to pass to you, fellow conspiracy realist. What do you think about the idea of using spiritual and or occult means in real life, real world, tangible conflicts? Do you have other examples? Have you experienced something directly? Do you know practitioners of certain arts? If so, we would love to hear from you. Conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com. We'll give you our phone number and our social at the end. Right now, we are going to pause for a word from our sponsors, and we will return with one more piece of strange news.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing inventing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Oh man, we're back. Guys, I can't get the image out of my head of occult law enforcement officers in some kind of sci-fi thing.
No, it's awesome. It should be a series. It's incredible.
It's a comic book. It's a comic book created by Rosario Dawson and a friend of mine, actually.
Wait, also really? Elements of it in like Preacher, you know, there's definitely like kind of snippets of this whole vibe and a lot of comics and graphic novel series that I think we all dig, but very, very interesting. So we're back, as he said, Matt, with another piece of news. Unfortunately, it's not strange because it's something that happens far too often in this country, and not going to make this a soapbox thing, but it's another school shooting, this time in Nashville, Tennessee. And the reason I wanted to bring this up and talk about it with you guys is just there are certain people, you know, in politics and in government that really like to take these moments that are just national tragedies that happen far too often and use them to frame talking points that they like, whether it be, you know, for or against gun control or whatever the issue might be. Mental health, for example. These are maybe, that's a positive one, a conversation that should be had. We have a real, you know, lack of available mental health care in this country, and it's not something that really people are even open and able to talk about as much as that. It's certainly gotten better, but so in Nashville, Tennessee, at a Christian school, private Christian school, Monday, as we record this, there was a shooting that resulted in 6 deaths, including 3 9-year-old students and 3 staff members who were killed by a shooter that was revealed very quickly to be a transgender woman. And that has now become a massive part of the conversation. This idea that because this person was trans, this in some way contributed or led to, you know, the actions that they took in a way that might happen again, or perhaps has even already happened. And this is a series of points that's being made across, you know, a kind of right-wing media and politics and just sort of pundits. And it's even, you know, depending on the news source, it appears in the headline, you know. And I mean, I know that when I first heard about it, I heard that it was a woman that had done the shooting. And my immediate remark was, well, that's weird, because it's like 98% of the time it's a man. And then the transgender part came out, and then boy, did the internet go nuts. And, you know, as we know, members of the LGBTQ community, and especially trans people, are often in very vulnerable situations. You know, people that lash out, whether it be online, you know, or in the media, or in person, you know, hate crimes against, you know, these folks for no other reason than just living their lives and doing what they do, and, you know, choosing what their truth is and living that out. And I just, it's really scary to think that something like this and that rhetoric, that really heated rhetoric, could make that situation even worse when you have folks like Donald Trump Jr., you know, saying there's a epidemic of trans and LGBTQ shooters, you know, and that this is, and that's just not true, A, and B, it's just an odd thing to say and an odd way to frame it. And then you have folks like our own beloved Marjorie Taylor Greene saying, well, I guess now we know guns aren't the problem. Ugh. You know, I mean, it's, you know, that's like a dog whistle way of saying, you know, this other thing that's the problem. So I don't know, guys. Again, I'm not trying to soapbox here. It's just, you know, I think we all have trans and you know, gender non-binary people in our lives we love. And it's just really upsetting to see that this is something that could cause them further concern about their very lives.
Mm-hmm. Especially given the sweeping proposals to make people's existence a crime. You know, not their actions, just their existence. I'm glad that you mentioned Marjorie Taylor Greene. Politics aside, the person is unfit for office. It doesn't matter what political party you identify with. But before we say anything else, gentlemen, if I may, I want to do something really important. I'm not going to talk too much about my hometown. I'm not going to talk too much about the people I know there, but there are names that we need to remember. Evelyn Dykhouse, 9 years old. Mike Hill, 61. Catherine Kuntz, 60. Cynthia Peake, 61. Haley Scruggs, 9 years old. William Kenny, 9 years old. And how soon are those names going to be forgotten?
Well, that's the very thing. It's just, it's so unremarkable, this kind of thing happening. And because it's so unremarkable, there are folks that would like to make it remarkable in a way that would benefit them by framing the conversation around what they see as an issue, which is this, the gender identity of the shooter. And again, not going to soapbox about gun control or any of that stuff. That's beside the point. But it's just the fact that, you know, this is something that it has to be kind of given a spin because it happens so damn often. And people are just desensitized to it. I mean, whatever your political leanings might be, I think we can all agree that that's messed up. How often it happens and how we've become desensitized to it. And especially when you see how it's used as a way to kind of bolster political talking points. In this case, I would certainly argue about the utter wrong thing, and usually about the utter wrong thing, at least in terms of the loudest voices in the room, you know, in the discourse. But I don't know, Matt, what do you think? It's hard. I mean, it's not even an opinion thing. I don't know.
Yeah, the only opinion I have here is that any focus on this individual's identity, right, the way this person identifies,
yes,
shouldn't be in the conversation. I mean, unless it is directly linked from a police standpoint to the motives behind the shooting, right? That's interesting, and that could be part of the story of this one incident.
It certainly could.
But it would no not question. Have anything to do with anybody else who identifies in the same way, right? You can't take something like this and apply it to the big picture, I don't think.
And to have that knee-jerk reaction to seize this as an opportunity to frame this as some sort of like trans war on Christians or something, you know what I mean? Without any evidence. And I'm certain that, you know, it's difficult, you know, being a trans person. I don't know from experience, obviously, but I mean, there's a lot of challenges, and it's something, you know, people are bullied and treated poorly, and it's certainly a psychological strain. It can be, you know, and it's folks that are committing to that and going all in, and that's what is right for them. They know what they're signing up for, you know. There's no mystery about that, but to frame it in some sort of like holistic way where it's like, yes, this is the kind of thing that leads to school shooters is just beyond absurd. I'm not even going to repeat some of the nasty things that folks are saying online to that point.
It's deeply cynical. It is intentionally misleading, and it is condescending, yes, in terms of not treating the intended audience as though they are intellectual peers. That should be found offensive. If nothing else is offensive about this unclean situation, the truth is that six innocent people are dead, right? The shooter is dead as well. And the next school shooting, statistically now, is on the way. Now, none of us are here, as you said, Noel, none of us are here to soapbox or talk about our opinions. This is a show about facts and analysis. And the facts, I think, as you guys laid out, are readily apparent. And anytime, you know, this is like going to a funeral and using it as a way to talk about yourself. That's what some of these politicians are doing. And it's, again, it's disgusting. It's unclean. It is intellectually fraudulent.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better. And that is irrespective of where you may land politically. You know, or even just ethically, even perhaps. I would argue it's not an ethical quandary, but there are some people that, because of their religions, have ethical issues that they see as ethical issues with, you know, queer people and folks who are trans, and that's a whole nother conversation. You can have that in your community, and I wish you the best. I disagree, obviously, but this is not the place to have that conversation. It doesn't make sense. And it's gross. So maybe we soapboxed a little, but I think we did okay.
It really is tragic. And it's one of those things where, honestly, guys, this one and I think the past three that I've seen headlines just
I've
pop
lost
up
track.
On my phone. I'm doing the head in the sand thing, and I know I don't need to do that, guys, but I can feel myself doing it.
We both have kids, man. Like, I literally was just like today, you know. And my kid is gender non-binary, and I literally today was like, do I pull my kid out of school? Like, I'm genuinely concerned about my kid's safety.
Yeah.
At school. And it's like, this is something that, like, you have to, be an ostrich about it to some degree, or else it's like, what can you do? You know, once you pass that child off into the care of this school. And, you know, I mean, again, we love teachers. We love these people. You know, this is important work, and the administrators are doing their best they can with as little budget as they get. But it's like, I just don't feel safe sometimes having my kid go to school.
At least it's statistically massively unlikely that anything
I know,
like this will
but
happen,
I just,
right?
I can't help but have it be in the back of my mind, you know?
Doesn't make it any less scary.
No. It doesn't. And yeah, we picked this one to go last just because it is just, it's a hard one. It's a hard pill to swallow. And we wanted to have a conversation, but, you know, figured we'd wait till the end to bring the mood down. Justifiably down. But let us know what your kid's school situation is like. How do you feel about this? We're not trying to fear monger here either, y'all. We're not trying to say live in fear. Nobody wants that. And that is the last thing we would ever tell anybody to do on this show about any scary issue. And we talk about plenty of them. But let us know your thoughts around this kind of thing. You know, how do you feel about using someone's identity to create a political climate around this? Where do you think the real issue is? Let us know.
We can't wait to hear from you. We look forward to your input, folks, fellow conspiracy realists in the U.S. and abroad and beyond. Let us know your thoughts on the ongoing mass shooting tragedies. Let us know your thoughts on the hidden danger of AstroTurf, and let us know your experiences with the occult and law enforcement or cartels. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on YouTube. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us all over the internet. But pray tell, what do you do if you don't sip the social meds?
Ah, well, if you have a phone, you know how to use it, and you don't mind using it for its original intended purpose, you can call 1-833-STDWYTK. You can leave a voicemail. You'll have 3 minutes. We ask that you give yourself a cool nickname, and you let us know whether or not we can use your voice and message on the air. If you don't want to use your phone for that purpose, why not use it to send us an email? We are
conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.